Welcome to Awakening Plus. It's February 28, 2024, and it's Ask Us Anything. We're starting with a light. We've got just two folks besides me here, Jeannie and Mary. And it looks like Mary is taking a while to connect to her audio, so she can't hear us yet. So while she's connecting up, let me just briefly set our container so we have some good vibes to work in. Allies, please come. Allies, please prepare me to be of the greatest possible service today. Thank you. Please create a safe container for us to do our work in. Thank you. All right. Well, Mary's taken a while. Let me see if I can message her and suggest she come in through the phone if she can't connect up. So just a minute. So let's see, that is Mary. Hang on. Mary, if your audio doesn't connect, try using, let me type this properly, try using the phone method instead. Oh, looks like she's here. Okay, finally. All right, welcome Mary, welcome Judy. I've already welcomed Jeannie. Welcome, folks. So we're doing Ask Us Anything tonight, and that means throw your questions out and I'll answer them, or someone else here who has some good juju to share will answer them. And I've already set up a little sacred container, so the floor is open. So anyone who's got a question, feel free to unmute yourself and have at it.
I have a question. Is that okay if I go?
Course.
Okay, all right. So I heard something, or actually I read it, and it was about being awakened. One of the reasons it's so important that you automatically have a balancing of your inner male and your inner female. And
Okay.
it's important for creation. So I went in and felt and came up with some things, but I don't recall you talking that the invocation that we do, Maximum Embodied Awakening, that it necessarily balances male and female. I feel absolutely balanced in that way. I feel like it's not even an issue. I don't even have a duality of anything. But I want to hear you. I want to hear what you have to say.
Again, my perception of awakening is it has lots of levels to it. And if you have your first awakening, that doesn't guarantee your male and female are just done and balanced and all the way there. I know many people who have levels of awakening who are still working on a male-female balance. It makes sense to me that the deeper you go into awakening, the more you're going to have experiences that will balance the masculine and feminine polarities as you go deeper and deeper, because those deeper levels kind of require that. But I would say just because you've had an initial awakening or even a few to start you doesn't mean your male and female will be automatically balanced. If you go deep enough, yes, but it may take a while, and it might could take years of deepening awakenings before a person has a significant, balancing of that type. That's my own belief about it.
I just know that when I do it, I mean, I have to admit, I don't stay in embodied awakening every minute of the day. But if I actually say it and then I feel the loveliness and I do it really quick because I've been doing it a long time, I mean, energies just come in very quickly. I mean, and I barely start saying it and muscle memory, it just happens, right?
Sweet.
So, yeah. But when I'm there, there's absolutely no duality. Now, am I
Right.
perfectly
And I
balanced?
agree with you. If you're
Yeah, am
fully
I perfectly balanced all the time? No, just when I'm doing that.
Yeah, so if you're fully conscious as higher self, that is a balanced place for sure. So if you're fully there, then that is the way I was answering the question was, does that mean that from then on, every moment of your human life will be male-female balanced? Not necessarily. when you're fully in the union with higher self, it makes sense you would feel that balance at that point. But working out a balance in your actual daily human life could take a while of, doing various, having various things stirred up and cleared and healed. I had my lock-in awakening, 12 years ago, and I'm still clearing stuff. So
Oh, sure,
to me,
sure.
I view it not as a one and done, but as a spectrum.
Right. Well, just one more note in case you have, I don't know, if you have time to answer. If a person is balanced in their male and female, if only when they say the invocation or whatever juju they do to get there, right? I mean, people use all kinds of invocations. When your male and female are balanced, according to what I was reading, then of course creation's going to be a little different than if you're not balanced in your male and female. You know, so whatever you're creating, which could be, dinner. I mean, it doesn't have to be, a whole perfect, entrepreneurial program or something like that, But I just wondered if you had anything to say about creation and being in balance, and it's, of course, it's co-creation implied.
It makes sense to me if you have a better male-female balance, you're going to manifest more easily because manifestation requires both. There has to be a certain amount of yang to put the vision and the energy out there to call it in. And it requires a certain amount of feminine or yin to receive it coming down. Some
Okay.
people are one than the other. I also, it's been my experience too that there's no one best law of attraction method. Different people are wired up differently. Some work better with a more forceful yang approach. Some are work better with a more relaxed, I just call it once and receive it forever kind of approach. And in my experience as an astrologer, depending on how their astrology and energies are set up, then they will work better with different kinds of manifestation systems. That's why there's so many great, systems out there, because they all work for some folks. So I hope that's a helpful answer.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. All right, great questions to lead us off, Jeannie. Thanks for getting us rolling. Okay, who else would like to unmute and ask a question?
I will.
Hey, Judy, welcome.
Hi. This morning about 12:15 a.m. I was listening to the recording from yesterday. And I felt the energy coming through, and I wrote down a question about when you spoke about the energy. Where is it? Well, I know you said that when you burp and when you belch and all that, it's just the energy moving through you,
Correct.
right? And I felt all that. I was belching and burping. But the question I wanted to know, oh gosh, where did I put my question? I like to know that energy shift, energetic shift. You said
Okay.
there's an energetic shift. I don't know. I was trying
Okay.
to figure out what that.
Unfortunately, you garbled as you were asking the question. Could you ask it again?
Okay, and the question is, what do you mean when you said an energetic shift?
Okay. When I say that, that's because when I facilitate events, I am at one with the energy field. And
Okay.
if the energy moves, I feel it in myself because I am
All
the field.
right.
And when I make comments, it's because I'm noticing that the field we're sharing collectively is shifting or moving in some way. The energy is.
Oh, okay.
And again,
Oh, okay.
so I also understand that not everyone may have the same experience. I often say, if your experience is
Yes.
different,
Yeah,
go with
you
your
have to
thing.
say that.
Don't try to match what I'm saying. But what I
Yeah. Yeah.
believe, based on years of this kind of facilitation, is that if I'm feeling it, that means most of the people live and or on the recording are feeling something similar, and I often get
Yeah.
confirmation of that later. And certainly when I
Okay.
work with individual clients, as I'll be tracking empathically and commenting on what's happening, oh my God, yes, I felt it just as you were saying it, kind of thing. I get that so much that I have pretty high confidence that what I'm feeling is actually what's happening, either in an individual or a group setting.
Okay.
Is that
And
a whole bunch?
you talk about a new frequency.
Same thing. A new
Same thing.
frequency is an energetic shift. It's just different words for the same
Oh,
thing.
it's just an energetic shift. Okay. All right. That's what I wanted to know.
All right. I'm glad I could clarify that. All right. Who else has got a question? Well, Mary and Melissa haven't asked questions yet. Would either of you ladies like to jump in and ask a question?
I just came to see what was going on.
Okay, well, I'm glad you did, Mary. I'm sorry it took your audio so long to connect up, but again, you're welcome. If a question occurs to you while we're here, just feel free to jump in and ask it, okay? Melissa, did you have a question by chance? Maybe not, since she's not unmuting. So everyone's had a shot at it. So, Jeannie or Judy, if you have more questions, feel free to jump back in and ask them. And if either of you other ladies are just too shy to speak, you're welcome to type your question in the chat too. That's okay. You got one, Judy?
No,
No? Well, this.
I'm looking at my notes,
Okay.
and I think you answered both of my questions. It was only two questions I had.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Well, this could be the shortest ask us anything on record if no one else has questions. But let's leave a moment longer to see if anyone else has a question.
Yes, the recording was beautiful. I felt you said how the recording is the same. It sure is.
Oh, I'm glad you had that experience. Good.
Yeah, it sure is the same. It was nice.
Yeah, my understanding is the allies are right there with the recording, just like
Okay.
they were with the live call. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Good. I see that Jeannie is unmuted. Jeannie, did you have a another question to throw in the pot?
Yes, it's kind of, for some reason, what you said earlier, something you said sparked this question, and now I'm thinking I can't figure out how they're related. Maybe it'll come to me. But in general, I don't have time to read everything. We get so much information, but I'll get little blurbs of things, and it seems that some astrologers are now doing something like internal family systems, but they're using your planets. So I haven't taken one of these courses yet. So the archetypes of the planets are obviously part of your internal family
For sure.
in their own way. And I now, since I know a little astrology, I go around saying, well, I did a very Capricorn thing, and boy, I was a Saturn, I did the vocabulary, and then I love IFS. So it's like, well, yeah, actually. And then, of course, the archetypes of the tarot deck, they're perfect. I mean, they're archetypes for all of us.
Totally.
And so anyway, I just wondered if you had taken one of those courses or studied anything like that, or.
I have not, but I do have an idea about a comment on that. To me, of course, the I mean, I'm an astrologer. I've done over 10,000 readings. I know, at least from my belief, that Western astrology really works over 99% of the time for people. I've had a handful of exceptions, but just about everyone I work with, when I describe the archetypes and how I see them playing out, they say, "Oh yeah, that's so true." And the timing works with the transits, and so, my experience says that astrology is a legitimate working system. And yes, each of those planets is an archetype. Okay. And you can say I can work with that archetype in ways to heal and do that. However, what IFS does in terms of the specific trauma being addressed, IFS gets way more granular, because IFS can go down to, okay, that's what happened when I was 3.5 years old, and this specific trauma came up, and I had this specific reaction to it, and The IFS process allows you to get right to that part and really, do the exact work that it needs to heal. And that kind of specificity is simply not offered by the astrology chart. So I agree, some good awakening and healing and empowerment work could definitely be done by working with the individual planets and working with them in similar ways. But I don't think, now again, if the facilitator was empathic enough or skillful enough to work, start with that archetype and then drill down to the particular trauma, I could see how that could be a lead into that. But in my opinion, having done lots of both modalities, IFS, if your goal is to do trauma healing, the IFS is a more quick and efficient way to get into the particular trauma and work with it.
Right. I've
But
just come from
that's.
the background where the parts are dealt with, not just for a trauma that we've had, but you have a physical symptom and you can talk to that part of you that shows up that has to do with your present physical symptom that you'd like to help, you
Yeah.
know. And
And that's a little beyond what IFS. Now, again, what IFS says is a wounded part does have the ability to trigger physical symptoms if you have certain weaknesses in the body or weak, areas that are easier to trigger. And it may get your attention by triggering that physical symptom. But the part isn't the same as the physical symptom. The part is using the symptom. Now, I know of modalities where you speak to your individual organs. And you work with them as
right.
conscious beings, which they are to a degree, or
Yes.
particular body systems, and that has benefit as well. I don't really do much of that kind of work because there's a gazillion modalities out there, and I only have time for so many. But you could, consider your organs or your chakras, parts of you, and you could work with those, and that could be very beneficial too. But as far as what I've only done, I work with the archetypes of astrology. I work with parts a la the IFS protocol, and also honor the fact that working with parts and other meanings and approaches could also be extremely beneficial.
Yeah.
Is that a
Yeah.
helpful answer to what you were asking about?
Yeah, and since nobody was chomping at the bit, can I do a B part of that question?
Sure. And then someone has typed something I want to get to, but
Well,
no,
maybe
we have
then.
time for it. Go ahead with your part B
Okay.
while we're on
Good.
it.
I'll probably forget it if I don't ask you right now. So a lot of the shows that have to do with science fantasy or fairy tales, legends, myth, those kinds of things, when I enjoy them now, I almost can't help but pick out, oh, that character sure does seem like that planet. This character sure does seem like this planet. And, you know, and how they play out. And is the whole movie in Pisces, or is the whole movie like, you know, the opposite, you know, like you have a Libra Aries thing going on, you know, something like that. So that makes life a little more fun in a lot of ways.
And again, because the astrology 12 archetypes cover all of the possible expressions of humanity, at least roughly, you can look at any character in a drama or comedy or whatever, and you could see some of the astrological energies, mixed up in that character.
Yeah, I have yet to be able to say that a particular show has every single planet. You know, then there's little asteroids and all those that show up. But if the more that they have, more it seems I am engaged. So anyway, I just wanted to hear what you had to say about it. Thank you.
No, I agree. And there's again, many approaches to a drama. There's also, having studied fiction writing and stuff, there's other ways to think about character creation and archetypal powers. And you can go into a number of different interesting approaches to create interesting characters and plots and such. Okay.
Okay, perfect.
Interesting.
Thanks.
Question. Okay. Now I want to get to this typed question. Let's see who gave it. This is Melissa. Thank you for popping in with a question. She says, working with the energy of plant spirits versus working with the actual plant medicines, how different is that? I'm not interested in working with or consuming plant medicines, but working with the plant spirits seems like it is higher vibration versus a lower frequency of using the plant energy physically. Okay, well, again, I'm biased, Melissa. I've done over 300 plant spirit medicine ceremonies where I have ingested the plant spirit directly. mostly ayahuasca, some San Pedro, some magic mushroom. In my experience, and I've also, I mean, in our Awakening Plus events, sometimes we'll come in, oh, Mother Ayahuasca is really strong here, and her essence is here with us. I mean, I've done so much ayahuasca. She is so integrated into me that there would be no separating Benjamin from the ayahuasca archetype. So I do know people who, and in fact, I've actually worked with clients, and I was told, oh, you need to, you could call it Mother Ayahuasca has showed up for you. She wants to work with you energetically, even if you never consume her. So, and I've had people I know who channeled ayahuasca for 30 minutes for me, speaking in the voice of ayahuasca, although this person had never drunk ayahuasca. So you can totally, there are ways to connect with those plant spirits without consuming the physical substance. However, my experience is the most potent, most helpful way is to drink the medicine. I think later in your question, Melissa, you, let me see what you said here. Working with the plant spirit seems like it's higher versus lower frequency of using the plant energy physically. My energy is just the opposite. The actual working with the actual beverage of ayahuasca and then communing with her spirit by drinking it is the highest of all frequencies for me. So, in my opinion, if you want to work with plant spirit energies, if you are willing and able to actually do the full ingestion of the medicine, that is the ultimate. That is the best possible way to work with it. It is possible to work with it just energetically without consuming physically, if that plant spirit is willing to work with you on those terms. And it's certainly worth asking if you're interested. But I would in no way consider the ingestion of the physical, beverage or plant spirit to be any less. And like I said, that's the highest way of working with a plant spirit. So I hope that's a helpful answer, Melissa. Let me back up and see if I missed anything. Hang on. Yeah. And you say you're not interested in working with the physical plant medicine. And that's a perfectly good free will choice. But if you're doing that in the belief that doing so would be a lower vibration experience, again, my experience in almost 20 years of plant spirit work has been just the opposite of that. I could say a lot more on that. But if you have follow-up questions, you can. But I'll just leave my answer at that. And if you have a follow-up, Melissa, feel free to type more or unmute and speak. Okay, next question. Who's got one? Nobody? Right. This could still be a short. Ask us anything. Anybody got a question? Feel free to speak or type. Hey, Judy.
Okay, I'm seeing you talk about baseline. Baseline can always keep rising.
Yes.
Is that your spirit? Are you connecting with your spirit
That's what I'm referring
to
to. In other
a higher
words,
level?
every time you have a spiritual awakening, and you can have tons of them in a single lifetime, each time you do that, your baseline rises. And
Okay.
your just baseline new normal is at a higher vibration than it was before because of that awakening.
Okay.
That's what I mean.
Because I hear him talk about, if you feel negative spirits, well, this is not your, it's another one I'm in. If you feel negative, they say just raise your frequency, because they can't, the negativity cannot come up to, if you raise your right?
That is my belief as well. And
Okay.
the method I recommend for raising the frequency is to do shadow work on whatever the negative energies are stimulating. Because
Okay.
usually, if a negative entity comes along, it's going to try to goad you into getting angry or upset or scared, or the negative being will do something to try to get into a weak spot where you haven't healed or where you have a weakness, and exploit that. Okay, that's their job. Okay. And then what, and again, for years as a shaman, I was chasing those things away and, doing techniques to skedaddle, get out of here, dark entity. But what I learned after a while was that if that person didn't then heal the wound or patch up the weakness, that same entity would be back later, or another entity would come and feed on it. It's like I like to use the bowl of cat food analogy. If you keep putting a bowl of cat food outside your house, if you scare one cat away, other cats are going to smell it and come along and eat it, So as long as you've got an opening, a dark entity will find it. Okay. And so yeah, raising your vibration is the best way to get past that particular negative entity, but you also have to do the healing work or the strengthening work to seal that opening. Now, really, the challenges don't ever stop.
No,
My worldview, I believe what the law of one says we got beings of light and beings of darkness all hanging out here. Okay. And even though 90% are love and light beings and only 10% dark, if a person has significant light or light potential, dark beings are going to sniff that out. It's okay. We need to be able to neutralize this light worker or stop them or somehow keep them from developing strong light worker. That's not in our interest. We want the darkness to win. Okay. So the light workers get initiated by an appropriate level dark being. It's always a fair fight or a fair challenge. The dark being will be able to level that you can master whatever they bring you. And once you master that, yes, you will rise above the level of that particular challenging being, but the new level, there might be another being of an appropriate level, a little stronger because you're stronger, to challenge you in a different way. And these the catalysts that we get to keep us rising up. Does that make sense? So, yeah. So,
Because I have a sister that triggers me.
yeah.
I have a sister that triggers me, and so
Me
I was
too.
just wondering.
Yeah, so again, let me just elaborate a little bit on that. Now, your sister, there's some possibilities here. There are a handful of people, a minority, who are very consciously on the dark side, and they're all in, and they are deliberately doing, things that are harmful or provocative or challenging, right? There's a lot more people who don't do that on purpose, but they've got enough infiltration of dark beings in their system that the dark beings sort of subtly goad them into acting in an unpleasant way. Okay. And for your purposes, you don't really, it doesn't matter what the mix is, how much of it is deliberate, consciously trying to be a nasty person versus just doing it because they don't know any better, or they have enough of their own trauma to not behave in that way. Okay. So the motive of the antagonist doesn't really matter. What matters is, okay, whatever their rationale, this person is irritating me, and this is giving me a heads up. I have something that now would be good for me to heal or strengthen. Because if I'm upset, that's on me. Whatever the catalyst, I can't blame them. They're just a
It's
catalyst.
not upset. It's not upset. It's pissed off.
Well, whatever you want to call it. All right.
No, I'm trying to give you the sense of how much it irritates me.
Yeah. So
So,
to
like I
and
said, it's for
basically,
me to deal with it, right?
yeah. So you can say, okay, I'm just not going to ever talk to my sister again. You can just cut off contact.
That's what I did. So I didn't
And
know if that was a good thing.
well,
When I say a good thing, a good thing for me.
yeah. Well, the standard advice I give when someone is talking about difficult relationships is say, okay, take that relationship, put it in. Is which of the three categories is it in? On one category, there are the awesome relationships where obviously being with this person feels good. We're helping each other. It's clearly beneficial and enjoyable to connect with this person. Let's keep that going. Okay. The opposite spectrum is people who are just so negative, toxic, nasty that you just come away feeling like you need a shower. It's that bad, right? So with those people, often it's a good choice. I'm just going to just cut off contact. I'm going to block them. They can't call me. They can't text me. And I just want nothing to do with that person. And for some people, that's a good strategy. Now, again, if it's too hard for you to say forever, just say for now, I'm breaking contact. Who knows what'll happen a year or two down the road? I have no idea. But for now, it serves me to break contact. Okay. And then there's the middle ground is the trickiest because that's where it's kind of gray. Okay. You may have a person there. Sometimes it's great and you can see, wow, this relationship really has great potential, but oh my God, there's all these problems and difficulties and clashes and like that. So the wisdom I like to share on that, I hope it's wisdom, is so first decide, is it worth the time and energy to try to heal up this relationship? And
No.
again, having done, over 10,000 client sessions, I've heard a lot of people talk about what doesn't work in relationship, and I've had my own experience. So the more of the following pieces are there, the greater the odds that it's going to be possible to heal the relationship. One, are both people really wanting to heal it? If only one does, the odds drop dramatically. Second, do you have a good system for relationship healing? Actual formal approach you're taking. Okay? And my all-time favorite is nonviolent communication. Nonviolent word communication. It's by the guy, I'm spacing the guy out, but you just Google nonviolent communication. The book has sold over 2 million copies. It's been used for decades all around the world. It's amazing. Marshall Rosenberg, the author. Yeah, that is an awesome system for relationship healing if both people are willing to use it. Okay. And thirdly, does each person really understand that if they're feeling upset, that is their thing to work on and is not the fault of the person? The famous image is, I got one finger pointing at you, I got three fingers pointing back at me. Right? So all another person can bring is catalyst. If you're upset, that lets you know I have a wound or trauma I need to work on. Does that make sense? So I take responsibility for my emotions. And so therefore, if all those pieces are there, both people really want to heal it. They're using a system that works well to heal relationships, and they're willing to do their not only admit their emotions are their own responsibility, but to do the individual shadow work and do it effectively, that they need to heal all that up. If all that's in place, that gives you the greatest odds of the relationship healing. Okay. But all
So
those, go ahead.
can you concentrate on you healing and how to just look at the person as, coming to antagonize you and just, like the evil,
Well, phrase your question again because I didn't get a clear question from the side.
Okay. What I'm saying is when they come at you,
Yeah.
is this somehow you can find a way to deal with it as far as don't feed into it,
Oh yeah, I mean, if you fight fire with fire, you're just going to give them more fuel. They're darker entities. They feed on all the lower stuff. So if you become hostile, antagonistic, upset, emotional, if you get, turbulent with lower emotions, that's what they want. That's what the
That
entities
is
feed on.
true.
Yeah. So if you go there, you've played right into their game and they're winning. And they'll probably come back for more because, oh, we can always get a meal there. They always get upset with me, so there's my food. Yay, let's have a buffet,
Because I'm the eldest girl and she's the youngest girl. And it's a constant trying to control her, trying, I guess, I don't know if it's move me out or I don't care. I have my own thing going on, but
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah,
my
I don't know.
parents just,
I'm
okay,
sorry.
go ahead.
I don't know what the power dynamics are in your family, but my belief is that a person can all, as once you're an adult, you get to choose who you interact with. Now, if you're at work and you're choosing to stay out of work, you might have to just deal with the people there no matter what. Okay. And then you have to learn relating skills with people who don't relate optimally. And again, you have to make your own decisions in family or other close relationships. Do I really have to continue interacting with this person?
Yeah, no, I don't.
Yeah. Then sometimes the best choice is not to. Yeah. I hope that makes it better. Okay. All right. Is that a satisfactory answer?
I know the answer, but when you're in the emotional state, it's to find a way to bring the answer in and calm yourself down and
Yeah.
you know what I mean?
Well, that's just, to me, just a lifetime strategy of I'm just going to stay in embodied awakening 24/7 the best I can. And no matter what pops up, I'm going to deal with it better than if I just pop down and just be the personality again.
Okay.
Things go
I
better when,
definitely.
like, yeah.
Say that again.
Things go better with awakening.
Yeah.
Okay,
Yeah, definitely.
cool.
Okay. Thank you very much for the
Well,
counseling.
my pleasure. I hope some of it's helpful. Let's see. I got some more. Let's see. Melissa typed some more stuff, and she's still here. Let me see what she typed. Recently, while on a mushroom journey, I received a very clear message that the medicine was not necessary or correct for me personally, and that I need to be a spiritual adult, access my soul spirit in other ways. So I need to look if it still makes sense for me to work with these plant medicines spiritually. Okay, so yeah, Melissa, if you already got clear insight that a medicine is not for you, then that may be trustworthy. And let me see, that's a mushroom. Let me see. Hang on, that was not the medicine, correct me, that I need to use otherwise. Yeah. So again, if that's your inner guidance, then that trumps anything I say. My belief, Melissa, is whatever you receive internally from your own higher self, that is the ultimate proper insight for you. And the fact that I adore working with plant spirit medicines doesn't change the fact that it may be the absolute wrong path for you. I'm never one to say that I have the right path for anyone. I just put out a podcast on how stunning the results of my, ketotarian slash Anacardita diet have been for me, and how marvelous it is. And I went on and on about how great it was, but I ended the episode by saying, but this may not be true for everybody. Other people may have a completely different kind of diet that works best for them. So the core message here is not that you need to do what I'm doing, but the core message is that food is really impactful on every aspect of your being across the board. And don't just eat nilly-willy because it tastes good. Find things that really support your body and your being every single way that it can. And that was the core message. The particular thing I'm doing was just the example. And in this case, the parallel would be, Melissa, I would advise you to do whatever works best for you spiritually and for your own overall development. And if that involves not ingesting plant spirits, but working with subtle energies, then that is your best way. And I applaud you doing that. So each of us needs to find our own unique path. So that's my response. And Melissa, I just wholeheartedly support whatever choice you make on that. Jeannie let us know that she had to go. She gave her thanks and took off. So we just have Judy and Melissa left. Do either of you have so you both asked a number of questions. Either of you have any more questions? Oh, Melissa thanked me for the answer. You're welcome. Judy, I see you talking, but you're not unmuted, so you're gonna have to unmute so I can hear you. There
Oh
you
no, I was just gonna say that I was just saying I need to thank you too.
Oh, well, you're welcome. I'm so happy to help. You have any further questions, Judy?
I'm okay.
All right, so you're out. Melissa, any last questions from you before we wrap up? Nope. All right, well, you're the only two left, so I guess we're done.
Okay.
So let me
Thank you.
quickly close the container. Beautiful allies, thanks for holding beautiful, safe, sacred, high vibration space for our interactions. We're so grateful to you. Go if you must, stay if you will. Please remain with anyone whose highest good is served by your continued presence. So grateful to you, allies. Where would it serve highest good to go? What would it serve highest good to do? What would it serve highest good to communicate and to whom? And we are done. Thanks all for your awesome questions, everybody. And we'll
Okay, bye-bye.
new batch of stuff next week. Bye.